It's Simon Barrett, and this is another edition of the Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone in the entertainment world. My guest today is Fred Glickston of the 60s and 70s prog rock band The Flock. Fred, welcome.
Thank you, Simon. I'm happy to be here.
Before we get into The Flock and your latest CD, there's a whole story behind that. I'm curious to find out a little about you. Who are you? Who is Fred Glickstein or Glickstein?
Glickstein, right. Well, I'm 67 years old, see? So I'm it's already past my bedtime, Simon. You realize that? And, can I go to sleep? No. Well, I originally came from Florida, Miami. I was born in Miami, Coral Gables, Florida, a long time ago. And eventually my family moved up to Chicago, and I've been here pretty much ever since. And then in high school, well, actually when I was 10 years old, a friend of the family gave me a ukulele, a baritone ukulele, and that kind of got me started with the music, you know. Eventually graduating to guitar, six-string guitar, and the rest is almost history.
Ukulele.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anyone play one in quite some time.
For a long time. Well, you know the Ram album, Paul McCartney's Ram album?
Yeah.
He's actually playing one on that album, you know, with Paul and Linda. I love that album. And he's playing ukulele. I think it's making a comeback, actually, the ukulele. So the one that I had actually eventually broke in two pieces, so I don't have one anymore, but it was fun while it lasted, you know.
Actually, whenever I hear ukulele, I think of Tiny Tim. I think
oh,
that
my
was
gosh,
his name.
Yeah. Yeah, he certainly made some noise for a while there, you know, and I mean that in the nicest way. Tiny Tim, we got to meet him in New York while we were there doing either our album or doing a gig. And Tiny Tim came into the club, so that was kind of interesting.
How bad. Heaven Bound is the CD, and I know that there's a story behind it, because it wasn't recorded last week. So,
right.
Right.
This CD, this album, The Flock, Heaven Bound, The Lost Album, is a combination of three different projects. After the Mercury album, Flock, broke up, we did a couple more projects trying to keep the spirit going, but nothing actually happened with it. But we did somehow, we were able to save the recordings, and eventually, which were actually analog, and we eventually put them on CD, digital, you know. So about a year and a half ago, I was approached by a fellow working with the record company and asked me, Fred, do you have anything that any never before released or bootleg material and this and that? And I said, well, funny you should mention it. And I said, yes, we do. And I sent it to him, and he liked it, and they liked it. And so now you're holding it in your hand, or at least looking at it. And that's how it came to be, you know. So it's really three different projects put together. It's not the original Flock. It's music that we were trying to be a little more commercial with the original group, of course, with all the stretched out violin solos and all that. That's what a lot of people might remember. But this is not that group and not that music. It's different music, and a lot of people like it, and some people can take it or leave it. But I like
that
it.
Attitude.
I yeah.
In fact, why don't we take a track out for a spin?
Great.
And I rather like the title track. So this is Heaven Bound. What a classic track! The first time I listened to it, I went, second time, I was outside in my office. I refer to the front porch as my office.
Right.
Yeah, it's nice and quiet. I went, good Lord, if I hadn't known differently, I would have pegged that as being Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah. Hey, we could have done a lot worse, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it does grow on you. It does grow on you after I've heard it for about 50 times. It finally sunk in, you know.
I was just rocking along.
that's great.
So, and tell me a little about Flock. I know that it started in what, 69, but
actually more like 65, 66. The original Flock, which wasn't, oh, you'll love this story. The original Flock was called the Exclusives, okay? And we didn't like that name. We wanted a better name. So one of the other members and I went to this place called the Aragon Ballroom here in Chicago. And this is cool because it was a battle of the bands between an American group called the New Colony Six and a British group called the Robin Hoods. I think they were from Blackpool, okay? And this was the battle of the bands, United States versus England, right? Now, both of the bands finished playing, and Robin Hoods were on a break and kind of milling around the audience, saying hello. And I went up to one of them. The Robin Hoods, again, were from England. And I said, you guys are great. Where did you get the name Robin Hoods? And he said, well, it was between the Robin Hoods or the Flock. And I said, oh, because we were, like, again, and we were looking for a new name. I said, is anybody else using the name Flock? And he said, not that I know of. And I went immediately to the payphone, because this was in 1966, there were no cell phones. So I went to the payphone, called my other partner, Rick. I said, Rick, we've got the name. So years later, I realized our name, the Flock, was imported from England. These guys came all the way over. I mean, that's not the reason they came over here, but it was so lucky for us that they did, because we got the name, you know. So that's a great story.
Oh, it is indeed.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons I love to do interviews. You learn so much.
How did you end up on this side of the pond, if you don't mind me asking? That's so cool that you did. Unless you... Yeah, go ahead.
Thumbnail sketch.
You forgot, right?
No. I was looking for the exit door.
Okay, well, everybody, Simon will be back in a minute. He had to jump out for, yeah, a little breath of fresh air, you know.
Right. I mean, I love England. I really think it's best seen from the window of a 747.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. You know, there are so many places in the U.S. that I haven't been that I'd love to go. And I'd love to go back to England and just travel out in the countryside and see all the castles and all that cool stuff, you know. And when I'm hungry, I'll go to an Indian restaurant. No.
Now that is one thing I do miss. Nothing beats a good Indian restaurant.
And there's a bunch of them over there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's really cool, yeah. Because England was...
There's one on every street corner.
I wouldn't mind that, you know. And it's unlike New York City where, well, there's not as many delis. There used to be a lot of Jewish delis, delicatessens, you know, in New York, but I heard that there's not as many now as there used to be. But things change, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, I'm very glad that you got to hear this new CD. And was any, you know, any other questions? I'm here. I haven't fallen asleep yet.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I forgot it's past your bedtime.
Yeah. I get up at 5 in the morning every day, so for work anyway, during the week. You know.
Actually, I have a bunch of questions.
I'm ready.
The flock peaked and exploded. What happened?
You mean why did the flock break up?
Yeah.
Well, my stock answer to that is it was because of Yoko. And I always get a laugh from that one, so I keep that in the act, you know. Yeah, it was Yoko, darn it. But anyway, so getting back, let me just backtrack a little. So we had that original flock in '66, that where we've got the name from the English group, the Robin Hoods, and then we were the flock, and we kept going for. We actually did 4 singles on a local record label here in Chicago, and we made it onto 2 of the big rock radio stations, WLS and WCFL. Those were the big 50,000 watt stations back then, and we had 4 singles on the charts in the Midwest and in the evening. You know, this was AM radio. You can hear it all over the country, right? So
right.
We would get calls from people from Florida that heard it, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, so what happened after a couple of years of that particular flock, which was started out doing mostly covered, you know, cover bands. We were doing R&B and Beatles and, you know, all the top 40 stuff. We were doing that and then started writing our own songs. But one of our good friends who was just coming to gigs with us, Jerry Goodman, he would help us carry equipment. He wasn't a roadie because he wasn't being paid. He was just hanging out with us as a friend, you know. But one of the flock members, Rick Kanoff, said, you know, Jerry Goodman plays the violin. He's a classically trained violinist. Why don't we try to see if that we can work that into the act, you know. So, but back then, you couldn't get an electric violin. You had to buy a pickup and somehow slap it on his expensive violin. He wasn't too happy about that idea. But we did manage to try it. I think he bought an inexpensive violin. We put this electric pickup on it, and it sounded fantastic. So that's how that next flock incarnation came to be. And Jerry Goodman went from being a friend schlepping equipment to being the flock violinist, you know, and we did the 2 Columbia albums with that group. It was a 7-piece group. We had horns, 3 horns, and violin, bass, guitar, and drums. So, long story short, did you want to ask me anything, or do you want me to keep going with the history there?
Oh, keep going. I'm enjoying it.
Hmm?
Please do keep going. I am enjoying this story.
Okay. So, all right. So then, eventually, that version of the flock disbanded, and Jerry Goodman, the violinist, went on to play with Mahavishnu Orchestra, John McLaughlin, Mahavishnu Orchestra, with Jan Hammer on the keyboard. And he's the one who wrote the theme song for Miami Vice, a TV show. So anyway, Jerry was gone. The flock was broken up. My wife and I and two-year-old daughter moved down to Florida to try something, and that didn't work out. So in 9 months, we came back because two of the flock members called me down in Florida and said, Fred, why don't you come back up here to Chicago and we'll try to put another flock together. So we moved back to Chicago. We did put another flock together with a new violinist. And long story short on that, we eventually signed with Mercury Records and did an album. But again, it just wasn't to be. You know, it was a good album. A guy named Felix Pappalardi, he was one of the producers of Cream, you know, Clapton and Cream. And also he was in the group Mountain with Leslie West. He flew in from New York and co-produced this Mercury album with us. It was called Inside Out. Highly recommend you get a hold of that. It's only on vinyl, but you can go to, eBay? You know.
Right.
I think even Amazon has a vinyl version of Inside Out by the Flock. That's the one that was co-produced with Felix Pappalardi. So that group eventually broke up. And then we kind of kicked around with the three different projects, which ended up being on the thing you were holding called The Flock, Heaven Bound, The Lost Album, The Lost Album. Lost in the Sands of Time, as they said on the little blurb on the CD.
Okay.
And I think that's why there's... Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
What did you do?
I played guitar. I wrote many of the songs and sang most of the lead vocals. Now, on Heavenbound, it was another fellow, and it's so funny, we're still in the process of trying to find out his, believe it or not, we don't know his last name. We know it was Polish, and it's ended with ski, you know, like Lebartski or something ski at the end, S-K-I. But we're working on it. We have our best agents on the case. What's the place in England? What's the famous Scotland Yard? Maybe we can get them to help us out, you know?
Right.
Hello. Scotland Yard here. Yeah, this is Fred Glickstein. Who? No. Anyway, so we're looking for him, but his nickname was the Flash Commander because... One of the projects was called the Strategic Air Command. You know, we wanted to call it the Strategic Air Command, but we were worried that the United States Air Force might call us and tell us not to use that name. So that's pretty much it with that. That's one of the projects, the Strategic Air Command, and then we did two other projects, and all of the stuff ended up being on this new. And because there were always guys from the flock, myself and my drummer, Ron Cartman, and Jerry Smith, the bass player, is on two of the tracks, too. I think you'll like the very last track, which is called Outroduction, because we had a thing on the Columbia first album called Introduction. So I said, let's just call this last track Outroduction instead of Introduction, you know. So that's pretty much it. I'm sorry,
okay.
Your 10 minutes are up. Simon, go ahead.
I'm curious. The flock basically went away, and everyone went their different
Merry
ways.
Way. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you do? What have you been doing for the last 40 years?
The last 30 years... I've been working at the Hadley School for the Blind, and that's in Winnetka, Illinois. And Winnetka is another North Chicago suburb. Winnetka. There was actually an old jazz song called "Big Noise from Winnetka." You can Google that one or YouTube that. "Big Noise from Winnetka." But so I've been at the Hadley School for the Blind for over 30 years, and. And I did some other odd jobs after I finally gave up on the music because you're married and you have children, you have to somehow put food on the table and pay rent, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? Do I have to do that? Do I have to get a regular job? Oh, no. So, yes, Fred, you have to get a regular job. So I had some interesting jobs. I drove a cab, a taxi, for a while. That was kind of a strange thing. But, yeah, you know, life goes on, and I always love music. I play music every day. I mean, listen to it. I don't actually play. I haven't played the guitar in a long, long time. I'm afraid I might write a hit song or something, you know?
Well, I really think that you should pick up your guitar and pluck
away. And then put
away.
It back down again?
Yeah. There's music in you yet.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely, yes. But a huge crust has grown on the outer section of the being. Now, like I said, I listen to music every day. I love music, all kinds of music. Not that crazy about rap, but I, thanks to having children, we have children. We have a 43 or 44-year-old daughter and a 40-year-old son. He can pick whatever age he wants for both of them. And, you know, they went through their 80s and 90s, and I got to know about things like Tears for Fears and, Dad, you have to hear this Morrissey. You have to hear Morrissey. You know, so thanks to the kids, I never would have heard any of these artists but because of the kids, and they always loved music, and they even liked the old man's stuff. But my daughter was a big Beatles fan. She loved the Beatles, you know. So I have some. All right. So how are we doing time wise? Are we? Are they giving us a signal to cut? Any?
No. And time is an illusion.
I love that. Yeah. Who are you? Who are you? Albert Einstein? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. You know.
Okay. Let's do some. Absolutely shameless commercialization.
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting so long for this moment.
Where can people buy copies of Heaven Bound?
You can buy Heaven Bound, The Flock, Heaven Bound, The Lost Album, on Amazon. You can get it on iTunes. Any of the major, you know, outlets, it's available. But definitely Amazon. I saw it there myself even. It was there. Simon, I saw it. It was on there. It was on Amazon. There were even two customer reviews, very positive customer reviews that I didn't even write myself. I was going to write one. But seriously, it's other people that I don't know. And so all, you know, Amazon, iTunes, If you just Google, you know, go on Google and key in, or any of your search engines, and just put in The Flock, Heaven Bound, The Lost Album, it'll come up with three or four pages of where you can get it, you know.
Do you have a website or anything like that?
Well, we had a website, but it hasn't been, the fellow that helped put it up, hasn't been around for a while, so it's sort of not totally up to date. It's not up to date, but I'll say this album I highly recommend, and anything else by The Flock that you can find. It was the first Columbia album was just called The Flock, and the second Columbia album was called Dinosaur Swamps. That's a whole other story if you want to know how it got to be called Dinosaur Swamps. I recommend that. Then there was one that Columbia called around 90s, and they wanted to do a, you know, Kaplan. What was was his name? Somebody Kaplan from New York called me up. I get this call from this lady at, hi, this is a, you know, this is a complete New York accent, right, which I love. And New York is actually like Old York, speaking of England again.
Right.
Because if you think of the accents from New York, New York, hi, how are you, New York? And then it's a little bit like an English accent. York, York, England, York, you know. So I guess all these people that came over in New Amsterdam, actually it was called New Amsterdam, so I guess there were some Dutch people too. But there were many British too, right, in the beginning of our dear country. When we decided we didn't want to, we had to break away and make our own country. That's another whole story. You want to do another whole show on history of the United States?
Oh,
what am I, the new... Well, I don't want to say this, but I might be too soon to say the word.
We could create an entire series on that subject.
Yeah.
Hey, how about we play another track?
Oh, great.
How do you feel about Reasons? Would that be a good track?
I think it's marvelous.
Okay.
No, I like it. I wrote it. I sang lead on it. What's not to
okay.
like, right?
What's not to love? Okay, here it is. that, in my mind, is the classic rock ballad. I mean, had I heard it, without any background, I could have pegged it by being by Queen.
Wow.
I'd love to know your thoughts on this track.
Well, I'm very close to it. You know, I wrote it and I sang lead on it, and we had a great guitar player, Steve Misick, playing that lead, which just is so dreamy and out there, wonderful. Yeah, we had a blast recording it originally, and it's just funny how it just sat there on the shelf all these years, and finally, I got a call. Like I told you, I got a call from a fellow with the record label, and here we go. We got it's finally out for people to hear, and we're all really tickled about it, you know. So,
and are you planning on picking up your guitar or ukulele sometime soon?
Probably not.
No guts, no glory.
Oh yeah, yeah. Actually, I tried picking up guitar a while back, and my poor hands were so rusty, you know, after having not played for so long. But, you know, I'll tell you, Simon, I had such an amazing experience doing what we did, and touring and traveling and being on the same, playing festivals with Hendrix and Jefferson Airplane and Grateful Dead, and playing the Fillmore West and the Fillmore East with all these amazing groups, you know. And here's an interesting story. The plan was we were going to open for Badfinger. Remember Badfinger, of course, right?
Oh yes.
Yeah. Hello, I'm from England, you know. Give me a break. No. So Badfinger, we were opening for them somewhere in Bloomington, a university. It was either Bloomington, Illinois, or Bloomington, Indiana. And we got to the gig, and their road manager came in and said, "Well, Flock, we've got some bad news." You know, the road manager for the for Badfinger. "We got bad news." No, he says, "I got good news and bad news." We said, let us hear it. And he says, "Well, we didn't sell enough tickets to pay both bands. So Badfinger said, pay the Flock." How about that? Badfinger took nothing, no money, and we got paid. Isn't that unbelievable? So that's one of my favorite stories. And then the other story was the other Bloomington, which again was either Illinois or Indiana, another college town. We were slated to open for Frank Zappa. You know, Zappa, right?
Right.
And they said, "Listen, Flock, you don't have to bring your PA. You can use Frank's PA when you get here," right? So we didn't bring our PA. We get to the gig, and they said, "Well, Zappa's changed the Zappa organization has changed its mind. You cannot use his PA. Here's the check. Here's the money." They paid us, and they said, "Enjoy the show." So we just sat there and watched Frank Zappa and got paid for it. So, you know, these things are the things that, you know, the tour we went on and the experiences, you can't buy in a travel agent. We can't buy any of these memories from a travel agent. And so don't feel bad for me that I don't play the guitar anymore, because we don't have enough time to get all the stories out. I have one good story, though, we have time for it.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. This is maybe my favorite of all times. So we're in New York recording the first album, and they booked us in a club called the Salvation, a little rock music club, and it wasn't too far from from our hotel in Columbia Studios. Back then it was called CBS or Columbia Records, before it was Sony, right? Anyway, so we're playing at this club, The Salvation, and we get done with our set, and I'm unplugging the guitar, and the lights are low, and it's kind of smoky, and this is when you can smoke in the club. And I hear this voice going, "Hey, I like the way you play guitar, man." And I looked down, and it was Hendrix telling me that he liked the way I played the guitar. I'm like, holy crap. I said, "Jimmy?" He said, "Yeah, man." So how about that? That's the ultimate story that I could ever tell. Of course, we can't contact him to see if it's true or not, but you'll have to take my word for it. My wife was there. I could put my wife on. She'll tell you it's true.
I trust you. I believe you.
So that's amazing to me. You know, I mean, wow. You know.
Yeah, it sounds like you managed to compress a lifetime into just a few short years.
Years, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So actually, when it was all said and done and it was all over, I had all these great memories and you know, like I said, a tour that you couldn't buy in a travel agent.
Right.
So,
have you ever considered writing a book?
Oh, I've considered it. Yeah, I've considered
do
it.
It. I'm a book reviewer. I'm always looking for books.
Well, you'll get a free copy. How's that? And maybe we'll do another interview. You know, that would be fun. And but one of the guys, I'll have to. When this is over, can I give you? I don't want to give it over the air. My email address, but could I give it to you somehow, or is there one that, or you could give me the email address if.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you stay on the line after it's actually over, and I could just my email address?
I can't do that. But
okay. Right. I know. I see the thing that once you sign off and say goodbye, then I have to hang up or something like that. So.
Yeah. Sad though it is.
Just trying to think. So.
But. I'll figure out a way. I'll send Billy a message and get him to forward it to you.
Yes, that's great. Yeah, that'll work for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
I can honestly say this has been a wonderful discussion. I like talking to. People like you, right? You're of my age group, and I'm in agreement with you about rap music and how bad it is.
Yeah, but my son worked on me. He said, "Dad, it's the new poetry. It's urban poetry, and a lot of it's actually pretty clever." You know, if you can get past all the noise and some of the bad language, there is some artistic and clever rhyming and poetry in there. You know what I'm saying? So I know.
I think you're lying, but
I just want to make as many friends as I can tonight. You know, hello everybody out there. I like rap music too. Buy the Flock album. Yeah.
Fred, we're flat out of time. I too want to thank you for joining us today. Do you have any last words for us?
Well, thank you for having me, and I just hope that the rest of the whole world, I hope that they give a flock. Okay. Are we going to cut that? Are they going to edit that out? No, but really, it's. I think you know, if you listen to this new thing and not compare it to the original Columbia Flock, I think you'll be pleased. And just as you heard on the two tracks that you played, it's good stuff. You know, it's nice. It's, you know, I like it a lot.
Classic.
I believe in it. So, like I said, I hope
it's classic stuff.
Great.
Yeah, it's gorgeous stuff.
Mm. Well, bless you. Yeah. Bless your heart, Simon. I'm so glad that we got to talk, and just think of me putting my head down on the pillow, and next thing I know, it'll be tomorrow.
Right. Okay. All right. We will talk again, I'm sure.
Wonderful.
All right. Until next time. This is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week. And we will be back again soon with another program. Till then, goodbye.